What a beautiful, quiet morning it is. Just the bare sound of insects. Faint hum, can we hear it? A cool breeze touching the skin, at least here at this door. The breathing. Can we hear it, touch it? Cock, 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 cock. Maybe a faint perception of heart beating. And people sitting here together. Is it essentially one listening? Or are we all divided up into our own private worlds of memory and thought and fantasy? Or are there, at least for moments at a time, some openings in which there is one listening without division among human beings? Humming and cackling of insects. Permeating and replacing, maybe just temporarily, this life of fantasy and thinking and worrying and craving, wanting. That is so common, so powerful for each one of us. We're not saying get rid of that life of wanting, fearing, because it cannot by any conventional, ordinary means be gotten rid of. Or overcome, or controlled. Rejected, denied. These are the conventional psychological mechanisms to deal with our problems. Or trying to figure out mentally solutions. But there is another utterly simple way of being which is not taught or practiced in schools, private or public. Sometimes here and there taught at universities, but then often just talked about rather than entered into directly. That way of simple listening, awaring, presently, what appears as sound or touch or feeling or thought. In a vast space of no preferences, no judgments, normally, the way we have developed our perceptions, our listening and looking is conditioned. Conditioned by past experiences, which color our perceptions involuntarily. It's not that there's someone in here who says, I want to see that according to my past experiences. It happens automatically. One has experienced something painful or pleasurable in the past, and things or people who remind the brain of that past experience trigger it. May not even be the same people, the same situation. They just look like who did this to me, or for me, or against me. And the brain is already coloring the perception and distorting the response, which would be different were there no such mechanisms of association with past impressions. These are not our fault. We're not to be blamed for it. It happens in human beings like you and me. Who grow up very similarly as far as these mechanisms of remembering and associating are concerned. The content of what is experienced, a lovely harmonious family, which may be too idealistically put, but a caring family or a disrupted, poverty-stricken family create different associations. And just this very instinct, you may say, of human beings or living beings to imitate what happens around them, the youngsters, the little ones, supposedly optimally at the age of 2, already taking in and involuntarily imitating what goes on around them, what is perceived. Memories laid down and actions conditioned. Reactions. All of us grow up with praise and blame, reward and punishment, according to which tracks are laid down in this organism of what is desirable, pleasurable, agreeable, and what ought to be avoided. And according to all of that, different in content for all of us, but the same in mechanism, according to all of that, we usually habitually perceive what goes on inside and outside without a direct, immediate in touchness, what is actually happening, free from interpretation. Free from pre-judging or post-judging. So what are we coming here for, to a place like this, of such spacious beauty and care, lightness and quietness? Why do we seek out this place? Maybe for the first time, maybe time and time again, freshly, newly, coming here. Sitting down, quietly, motionlessly. What for? That's what people ask. Maybe one comes here with all kinds of ideas and expectations, which one may not find fulfilled. And then the question arises, why am I here? What am I doing this for? Or just really the intellect wanting to grasp what this quiet sitting, called by some meditating, what is it all about? According to different schools and traditions, there are different answers to this and different practices. Here, no practices are given to people. If someone comes here and wants to do their traditional practice, whatever it may be, visualizing or repeating or counting breathing, whatever, it's all right. One does not have to give an account of what one is doing to anybody. But talks are given and on Sunday morning like this or during retreats, which if one attends them, will maybe become acquainted with what I understand meditation to be all about. How to make it simple, to leave out all the complications which thought creates, wanting to philosophize, to give explanations. How to keep it simple, which is one of the essences of this work, simplicity. Directness. Directness of what? As I see it, simply put, there are two aspects of sitting, meditating, if you will, which actually are not mutually exclusive, but description and language divides what is in truth indivisible. So maybe we can keep in mind what is separately described is in truth not divided. One whole complete happening. So one aspect is becoming more acquainted, more intimate with what we call our conditioning, our habitual, usually unconscious or just semi-conscious reacting to each other, to ourselves, to situations. Thinking we're aware, because after all we're human beings and human beings are aware, but not really in touch with true awareness, which has no element of judging or analyzing. Or rejecting or clinging. So, to come in touch with our habitual reactiveness in fear or desire or anger, or at times affection, to watch it, to aware it freshly. Not in the habitual interpretive way, but wondering about it. Why just this reaction right now? And not being seduced by the why to fall into analysis, but to keep watching. The interest has been kindled in this instantaneous reacting fearfully or angrily, in superior manner or in inferior manner, to wonder about ourselves as what happens comes a bit more into view in this quiet, motionless sitting. Obviously, not everything that is possible for reaction in a human being like you and me comes into view as we sit here for an hour or a half an hour. So what does come into view? Never mind what doesn't. Have we pictures of ourselves? How we are? And I don't just mean a plain body image which is necessary for our neurological functioning. I mean ideas about how good we are or how bad we are. And how good or bad the others are. And putting it simply, you can add the complications. Are there pictures in the mind about me and you? Pictures about Tony, what she is, what I have heard about her, or what I would like her to be for me. The ideas in the mind about that. Not that they shouldn't be there, but are they there and can they be seen? Can there be more light, more awareness in our moment-to-moment living as right now revealed in quiet sitting and listening. Is there a dawning awareness of fantasy taking over the mind time and time again? Can one catch it? To see how it connects. Maybe one sits and there's boredom, nothing much happening. And fantasy kicks in about where I could be. In a beautiful place or with a beloved person. picturing myself in this beautiful place elsewhere or with this person. And in this picturing, desire arising for being there or being with that person. Away from what was felt as boredom and wondering as awareness dawns about being off someplace in fantasy, wondering what is happening here right now, experiencing what one has called boredom, but not really knowing what it is anymore, inquiring into it. What is it that I have called by name, but don't really know what it is, this feeling of unexcitedness, blahness, maybe some fear there, restlessness. What is it all about? Not intellectually, but experientially. And maybe sooner or later with this work of looking, inquiring, attending, really coming upon the palpable difference between just being here, open, undivided, and fantasy taking over as though one was sucked into a tunnel, lit up by artificial light, the light of imagining someplace else. There's a different, not just different mental, it is also different physically. And it is a change from awareness to thinking and fantasizing. And one of the differences between those two ways of being, in awareness there is no connection, no excitation of emotions, organs, glands. They just function normally to keep this body alive and healthy. With fantasy, a shift occurs. Fantasy connects with the organs, the glands, the muscles, and gets this body mobilized into action. Fantasy triggering internal action and maybe external action. We have believed that there is an actor here who decides freely, choosing freely what to do next and what not to do. And maybe to our amazement, we discover there is no such chooser. There are just thoughts and responses connecting almost instantly. What comes to mind right now is having read a while ago in a, I think it was a Buddhist journal, which had given some space to prisoners on death row. This one prisoner who was on death row for multiple rape and murder in there, I don't know whether multiple or not, wrote, among other things, about his gratitude for having been given a new experimental medication to reduce, drastically reduce the testosterone level in his organism. He expressed his gratitude for being relieved of fantasies which drove him to these actions. No fantasy, no reaction. If you and me, for a moment at a time, can see clearly, our actions will be quite different from reacting out of thought and imagination and remembrance and all the stereotypes built up in this burdened brain. I just heard this morning on the news there is a very interesting, quite soul-searching program on public radio about the media. And this one segment was a deep concern about the progressive stereotyping of Muslims as terrorists. And some, I don't know how many movies, including a brand new one that will come out, were listed, in which the terrorists are, of course, all Muslims. Even a scene first seeing them praying in the mosque, the next scene is the blowing up of a building in America. And the interviewer asked the man who was reviewing the movies, "Can you recall of any movie in recent years in which a Muslim is presented positively?" And he said he couldn't remember. It's a complex matter. They were mentioning too that there has been much improvement in stereotyping African Americans, Orientals, American Indians, Jews, but no such consideration given to Arab Muslims, that was added, Arab Muslims. Great concern among the American Muslim community. Because what do the children learn? We said how they imitate. The brain picks it up. It needs to learn to orient itself in the world, but what it orients itself in is a world of images, ideas, and the reactions that go with it. In our seeming need also to stereotype, to vent our aggression toward somebody or something, rather than illuminating what goes on in ourselves, which is the antidote to projecting outwardly, is learning, looking, inquiring inwardly. Noticing the resistances. We don't want to be the way we discover ourselves to be, because there are such idealistic images about ourselves, also indoctrinated into this young brain, how we should be, or else we're bad, get punished. So this work of discovering one's conditioning needs what is conventionally called some courage. Some readiness to look and not cling to the false protection of imagery, but see clearly what is happening in human beings, not just like me, but like all of us. We represent all of us. We're not unique in these mechanisms of defense and projection. So, maybe for this brief morning talk, it's enough that we said about this aspect of becoming intimate with the human conditioning as discovered in oneself. Non-defensively ought to discover this wall of defensiveness with which we protect what? Our images about ourselves. The other aspect of quiet being, quiet meditation, is in touch with what is not conditioned. Thus, without opposition or opposites, free. And yet capable of shedding light on conditioned being without meddling with it. The seeing is the doing. The seeing is the change. This free listening is the change. Not what is changed about the conditioning, but illuminating it, permeating it with awareness. Which, wonder of wonders, has wisdom and compassion growing out of it in a way too marvelous to comprehend.